Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night, and good luck.
Hey, everybody. Today's elephant in the room is the American police state. You know, I found it hard to say those words. I had to record this opening a couple of times because I don't want to believe we live in a police state. You don't want to believe we live in a police state. One of the fundamental things about being an American is that we don't live in a police state. We live in a big, messy republic based on democratic principles, based on the Constitution and the rule of law and the Bill of Rights and the things that generations of Americans for 250 years have fought to protect and preserve and expand. But I can't tell you a pretty little lie anymore about that, because we do live now in an American police state. I want to break it down in three levels. The first level is the political intent level. The reason DHS and ICE and Border Patrol and this entire claque of federal agencies are in the streets, pulling American citizens from their cars, from their homes, rounding them up, demanding their IDs, searching them illegally, seizing their property illegally, is the political intent. You need to understand that no police state forms based on law enforcement. ICE and DHS and Homeland Security and the other people that are in the streets right now, masked and anonymous and unaccountable, are not there to enforce the law.
Hit and run! Hit and run! That's a hit and run! Hit and run! Hit and run! That's a hit and run! Hit and run! Hit and run! Yeah. Hey, watch out with that weapon! That weapon! Yo, watch out! What's wrong with you? You hit it! You hit her! Yo, yo! What's wrong?
You hit her!
You hit her! You guys hit her! You guys hit her! What's wrong with y'all?
Y'all hit her?
Y'all bust a whole U-turn in the middle of the street. Y'all hit her? Y'all on camera? Leave her alone. She ain't even do shit. She trying to go to work. She's trying to go to work.
What the fuck?
Yo, what? Y'all some crazy. Y'all got no heart, for real. No heart. No heart.
Stop. Get off.
She's a female.
She's a female.
Get off of her right now.
You guys hit her. How you guys gonna arrest her?
Get off.
You guys hit her.
Who's this?
Man, how y'all gonna arrest her, Brad?
What are you doing?
Y'all bogus as
fuck.
You hit her. You guys hit her. You guys hit her. Whole lawsuit right there.
They are there to enforce Donald Trump's will. They are there to enforce the political order that Trump seeks to impose in this country. They are not there to make the streets safer.
No! No! Shame! Shame! Oh my fucking God!
They are there to make you more afraid. They are there to make you more fearful. They're there to make you more obedient. That political intent, you should always understand what's happening here. Stephen Miller is not directing these people into the streets to round up dangerous criminal illegals.
You can use the term insurgency. You can use the term insurrection. You can use the term domestic terrorism. Mayor Jacob Frey, Governor Tim Walz, Attorney General Keith Ellison have deliberately, willfully, and purposefully incited this violent insurrection, this violent insurgency against Immigration and Customs Enforcement, against Border Patrol.
He's directing them into the streets to assault the rights of Americans. None of the people in this administration and their supporters and their cheerleaders in the influencer world, the media world, believe that the rule of law applies.
The precedent here is very simple. You have a federal law enforcement official engaging in federal law enforcement action. That's a federal issue. That guy is protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job.
The political intent of the police state is not to make you safer. It's to make you obedient. It's to make you fear. It's to make you believe that your life can be snatched from you in a hot second. And the lesson of Rene Good that they've loved trying to teach Americans. And they, you see these ICE guys out in the street repeating, "Didn't you learn anything? We executed one of you."
Shame on you.
Listen, have y'all not learned from the past couple of days? Have you not learned?
Learned what? What's our lesson here? What do you want us to learn?
Following federal agents.
Give me my phone back. No, you can't take my...
That lesson is about their intent to use this as a political weapon. ICE will be in your streets. ICE will be in your voting centers. ICE will be taking ballot boxes. I promise you, do not think this is not going to happen. Prepare yourselves. They are going to continue to use ICE as a political tool. It is a political weapon. That's the first part of why we live in a police state, because it's political. It's intentional. It's not about crime. It's about politics. It's about belief. It's about your rights being taken away. The second reason we now live in an American police state is even more grim, even more terrible, even more depressing. We live in a police state because we are now surveilled at a level that the old Russian KGB could have never imagined, that the Chinese MSS could have never imagined, that the Iraqi Mukhabarat could have never imagined. And DHS and ICE and Border Patrol and the Trump administration, working with companies like Palantir and Clearview AI, are surveilling American citizens without a warrant, without a legal justification, using the commercially available data that all of our devices throw off about us all the time.
Why are we seeing Americans being asked on the street to provide proof of citizenship in Minnesota? Is that targeted enforcement? And are you advising Americans to carry proof of citizenship?
In every situation, we're doing targeted enforcement. If we are on a target and doing an operation, there may be individuals surrounding that criminal that we may be asking who they are and why they're there and having them validate their identity. That's what we've always done, in asking people who they are so that we know who's in those surroundings. And if they are breaking our federal laws, we will detain them as well until we run that processing.
If you're carrying a cell phone, and you are, we're all carrying a cell phone all the time, you are pinging out data every minute of your life. You are sending out where you are, what you're looking at, what pictures you're taking, and they have weaponized this information panopticon in order to monitor and surveil and take action against American citizens who are protesting, who are monitoring, and who object to the things that ICE and DHS and the rest of these organizations are doing in our streets. That surveillance panopticon is a superpower for evil. It is a superpower for the bad guys. It is something so clairvoyant as to what you're doing and where you're going that it invites the most pernicious abuses of power. There was a story yesterday about a couple who were in Minneapolis, and they were safely far behind following a group of ICE vehicles. The ICE vehicle stopped, boxed them in, took their pictures. Didn't ask their names. Took their pictures. Got their license plate information, took their photographs. Obviously, they were using Flock and Clearview. And by the time those people got home, those same ICE vehicles were in front of their house. Again, this surveillance was meant to intimidate them. It was meant to send them a message. We can find you. We can kill you. We could be here anytime. We could arrest you. We can shoot you. We have absolute immunity. This is a bigger problem than we're ready to deal with as a country, because the surveillance capitalism that has now informed this giant pool of data about each one of us that Twitter and Meta and Google and Apple and everybody else have used for a generation now to drive advertising is being profoundly abused in this moment. It has become the essential underpinning of the police state. And by the way, Democrats, if you take power back and you don't have a fucking bill on day one, hour one, minute one, that absolutely forbids the government to use any of these technologies without a court-ordered warrant, you're missing the game. You're missing the point. Look, these people know everything they can possibly know based on commercially available data. They know what you, they know what websites you look at. They know what Instagram reels you watch. It's all for sale. And now look, I know the Democrats are owned by Meta and Facebook and Google and other tech firms, top to bottom. Chuck Schumer's daughter lobbies for Facebook, for God's sakes. So that we're not gonna probably have any real reform of that. There are a lot of things you can do. Look at EFF.org. They will teach you how to lock down your phone a little bit better than you have it right now, probably. They will teach you how to use a VPN. They'll teach you how to opt out of some of these monitoring systems that are following you all the time. You need to get on the phone and call your local city council, county commission, and tell them you want all the Flock cameras out of your goddamn neighborhood. Flock is a system with 80,000 cameras around the country. The DHS is using Flock. It monitors your license tag. It takes a picture of your car every time you go by. Any one of these Flock cameras, it tells people exactly where you are. They give them to these counties. Oh, it's free for you to have them for public safety. And then the counties never think about it again. They sign an NDA, and Flock sells that data, not only to advertisers, but to DHS and to ICE and to Border Patrol and to every other federal law enforcement agency. They are abusing that. This surveillance panopticon that you live in every day is because it is commercialized. And your community, your Democratic and your Republican and your nonpartisan local elected officials are the ones who let Flock into your neighborhood. You are not safer because of it. You are just more monitored. They're not after criminals using Flock. The one in a billion times a criminal gets caught on Flock is vastly outweighed by the billions and billions and billions of data records they've established of you, your travel patterns, your habits, your pattern of life, as they call it. It is the most pernicious and dangerous thing. The Thomson Reuters company is also a big user of other camera systems that monitor your vehicles. We live in a surveillance panopticon, and that is the second big tier of the new American police state. Much of that comes from state and local and city and county governments deciding they're going to let those people in. So that's up to you. Get on the phone, call your representatives, call your state senators, call your county commissioners, call your city council folks, and say, no more. You got to stop monitoring this. One of the things in America, the freedom of travel, is disappearing because now they know where you are all the time. They not only monitor the license plate of your car, they monitor any bumper stickers or window stickers that appear on your car. What do you think about that? So they can ID the dangerous subversives.
We will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country.
Now, I do look forward to the day when we can flip that on its head and anybody with a Trump sticker gets rounded up put in a re-education camp. How'd you like that? This is why actual conservatives like me don't believe that you should have a surveillance panopticon that always watches everything you do, because it will eventually be turned around on you. I'm really tempted by that. Really tempted by that. These companies like Google and Facebook and Apple and others who sell your data. Apple is better than the rest of them, but they sell this data to advertisers. They sell this data to data brokers. This is an area of our society that was inevitably going to be abused by bad people. And right now it is being abused by bad people. That's the second pillar of the American police state. And there's something you can do about it. If you're a member of Congress and you haven't decided you're going to be on the side of your voters, your constituents and the American people against this giant spying effort, I don't know what to do.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
The third element of the American police state that is emerging now is the perversion of justice. Because again, remember point one, no police state exists without a political purpose. It's not to make you safer, it's to make you comply. And so we've seen in the last few days, prosecutors from the Department of Justice, not only in Minnesota, but from the Civil Rights Division and in other offices around the country, resigning.
It was another busy day as ICE enforcement continued across the Twin Cities. But today we're learning that the U.S. Attorney's Office for Minnesota may be losing some key prosecutors.
Fox 9's Karen Scullin is in our newsroom for us, joining us now to take us through what was a New York Times report. Karen, it appears some well-known people, some names are among those resigning.
Right, definitely. Joe Thompson, the lead investigator into the massive fraud here in Minnesota, has resigned. He is well respected by many in the U.S., the state here, and local leaders. It's not clear who will replace him as lead prosecutor or any of the others who have now resigned.
The U.S. attorney prosecuting the massive Minnesota fraud investigation has resigned. Joe Thompson has stepped down. The New York Times reporting five others have also stepped away. They cite people with knowledge of the decision and say it was over the Justice Department's push to investigate the widow of a woman killed by an ICE agent and the department's reluctance to investigate the shooter. Senator Amy Klobuchar said she spoke to Thompson today and thanked him for his work as U.S. attorney.
My place was to thank this incredible public servant and to ask him to convey to the others that they have done such a service for Minnesota. The fraud investigations, that's obvious, but think of how they got us through with the prosecution that is still pending in the Hortman and assassination, or the calm that he brought to the community the day after the Annunciation church shooting, working with our Minneapolis police chief, Brian O'Hara, seamlessly. And then whatever happened, we've lost a treasure of not just Joe, but these other prosecutors as well.
We also reached out to Republican Congressman Tom Emmer's office, but did not get a response. Meanwhile, several city and state leaders responding to the news as well. Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara has worked with Thompson on many cases. He said today, Joe Thompson is an institution within law enforcement, directly responsible for building and prosecuting the fraud cases now being cited to justify this moment. When you lose the leader responsible for making those cases, it signals that this isn't about prosecuting fraud. Governor Walz released a statement that read in part, Joe is a principled public servant who spent more than a decade achieving justice for Minnesotans. This is a huge loss for our state. Now, when asking the U.S. Department of Justice to respond to the resignations and specifically the alleged push to investigate Renee Good's wife and the refusal to investigate the ICE agent who shot her, a spokesperson sent this from Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. There is currently no basis for a criminal civil rights investigation.
They're resigning because they understand something. They know something. They know that the Department of Justice is being perverted because they were ordered in Minnesota not to investigate the murder of Renee Good, but instead to investigate Renee Good's wife and her politics and her beliefs and her sexuality. The Department of Justice, when this is done, as I wrote earlier in the week in the piece called This Is How It Stops, This Is How It Ends, has to be gutted from top to bottom. The people that were fired by the politicized Trump DOJ have to be brought back in to clean up the mess. I had a great talk with Frank Figluzzi about this the other night. But it's true. They have to be brought back in and clean up the mess. Because right now, this is perverse. This is sick. And the DOJ is being used not to protect the rights of Americans, but to suppress them. It is being used right now to provide a lawless set of agencies, DHS and ICE and Border and Homeland, with political and legal cover. This legal perversion that exists right now is so pernicious. Because the rule of law, the sense that Americans were protected by fundamental rights, rights given by God, as the founders put it, rights that were not negotiable or debatable, rights that had very few boundary sets. DOJ is leading the charge to destroy those rights. The Civil Rights Division is no longer a Civil Rights Division, doesn't care about civil rights. Harmeet Dhillon, the head of the Civil Rights Division, is a fraud, is a garbage lawyer who is there because she's loyal to Trump. She's a perversion of the idea that civil rights need to be protected, because their office's objective now is to eliminate your civil rights. Their office's objective is to break your civil rights. That perversion of justice in many ways flows in the most dark direction, the most pernicious direction. And that is this J.D. Vance-inspired line of absolute immunity.
The precedent here is very simple. You have a federal law enforcement official engaging in federal law enforcement action. That's a federal issue. That guy is protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job.
The concept of absolute immunity is a legal fallacy, for one thing. The idea that these people are protected from every consequence, criminal or civil, because they wear a DHS uniform is absurd. The idea that DHS is now abusing the rights of American citizens with no recourse, with the DOJ saying, too bad, suck it up, libtard. No, we're not going to do anything about it. The fact that they're protecting the abuse of power against American citizens is an absolute travesty for this department. Again, it is going to have to be hosed out from top to bottom. It has been perverted in such a way that it empowers this police state, that it empowers this darkness, that it empowers this idea that the government can trample your rights, that the government can take your rights away, that the government has unlimited, unbounded state authority, that they can drag an American citizen out of their car because they didn't like the way they looked at them, that they can walk up to people on the streets and demand their ID for no reason, for no probable cause, other than they may have a Hispanic accent or they might be brown.
Do you have an ID on you, ma'am?
I don't need an ID to walk around in my city. This is my
okay,
city.
Do you have some ID then, please?
I don't need an
ID. If not, we're going to put you in the vehicle and we're going to ID you.
I need an ID.
Huh?
I'm not
going
to check out your ID.
You don't have an ID?
I'm not going to check out an ID.
Hey, man, it's going to happen
US citizen.
Either way.
I am U.S. citizen.
All right, can we see an ID, please?
I am U.S. citizen. I don't need to carry around an ID in my home.
Well,
this is
where
my
were you,
home.
Where were you born?
This is my home.
Where were you born?
Minneapolis is my home.
Ma'am, that's not, this that's, is, we're this, doing an immigration check. We're doing a citizen
this
check.
This is where.
And we're asking you where you were born.
This is where I belong. This is my home.
Ma'am, you
and
can
I,
belong here, but where were you born?
And I am not going to give you an ID.
Then we're going to put you in the vehicle until we can ID you.
I belong here. I should be walking around here free. I shouldn't be afraid in my life at this point.
Ma'am. Do you have an ID to give us?
No.
Yes, you're correct.
You're making me a scare. You're making me a panic.
Do you have an ID?
This is my home.
Ma'am, where were you born?
I am U.S. citizen. I am U.S. citizen. And I don't think so you have a right to picture me while I am in my home and walking around in my home. This is not acceptable. You guys, you're terrorizing people.
Ma'am,
and it's not
where
acceptable.
Were you born?
It doesn't matter where I was born. I belong here. I am U.S. citizen. What else can I say? I'm a citizen. This is my home.
You realize that if you lie that you're a U.S. citizen,
Minneapolis is my home.
Then you can get a
Minneapolis
federal
is my
charges.
Home. I belong here. I'm sorry.
Or that they're protesting. Or that they're monitoring what's going on. Or that they're recording ICE when ICE is beating the shit out of people in the streets.
He's a citizen! He's a citizen! He's a citizen! Stop!
While I was on the ground, I was in shock.
I just knew I was getting handcuffed. It was all happening very fast. I'm like, how did I get here? How did documenting their activity lead to this?
In early November, Border Patrol agents moved into Charlotte, North Carolina. The deployment was part of a broader federal enforcement effort spreading across the country from Los Angeles to Chicago and now Minneapolis. Oh! Cell phone footage has emerged from each city, showing agents detaining immigrants and protesters. The people filming the federal agents call themselves ICE verifiers. These verifiers have since become a focal point in the Trump administration's response to the fatal shooting of Minneapolis resident Renee Good earlier this week. Republicans have said that people following and monitoring ICE are impeding immigration-related arrests and endangering officers and civilians.
How do you understand the ICE resistance?
This is a cult-like, this is a cult. This is cult behavior.
That woman is part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and to make it impossible for our ICE officers to do their job.
She was a agitator, probably a paid agitator, but in my opinion, she was an agitator.
Pamela Jo Bondi belongs in prison, not in the DOJ. First off, she's engaged in the Epstein cover-up, which another story for another day. But the entire department has been weaponized, politicized beyond all recognition. And the entire purpose of that department rests on two singular pillars. Carry out the revenge that Donald Trump wants on his political opponents and protect government, masked, anonymous, unaccountable brutes who are in our streets abusing the rights of American citizens at scale from consequence. They're engaged in a cover-up right now over the murder of Renee Good. They're pretty good at cover-ups. The Epstein Files has been the largest cover-up in American political history, but they're now covering up the evidence. They won't let the state of Minnesota have the evidence in the case. There's a piece of good news, though, folks. I'm going to make it very clear. I'm going to give you a small piece of good news on this abuse of power. There is no statute of limitations on murder. Donald Trump will not be in office forever. He can't pardon state charges. So, Jonathan Ross, I hope you're sleeping well right now because you will never have another quiet night in your life. There will come a time when you will be charged for this murder. You committed this murder. You know you did. You walked away from the car and said, fucking bitch. Out of the car. Oh!
Fucking bitch.
You know you killed her, and you're going to face the judgment someday of the courts and the people of Minnesota. And there are other ICE agents and other ICE officials and other ICE thugs in the streets and other DHS thugs in the streets who also think you're never going to face consequences. Oh, au contraire, my friends. There will be a day Donald Trump is not president. There will be a day when the DOJ is not run by Pamela Jo Bondi. There will be a day when your lives have accountability. There will be a day when your actions will be called to judgment. That day may not be tomorrow, may not be next week, may not be next year, but there's no statute on most of the crimes you're committing. The next pillar of this new American police state is the escalation of violence. This is what fascist regimes do. This is what is happening in Iran right now. It's what's happening in our streets right now. There's going to come a day very soon where Stephen Miller will say to the president, sir, DHS needs to be able to use live ammunition on these protesters. We need to teach them a lesson. We need to have revenge and retribution because they're sassing our officers. They're following them. They're putting them on camera. And until we teach them a real lesson, they haven't picked it up yet that Renee Good wasn't enough. They haven't picked up on the idea that if they screw with us, we'll kill them. So they're going to get permission to loosen up the rules of engagement. And they're going to stop with the bear spray and the pepper ball guns, and they're going to start with the live ammunition. And a lot of you are thinking, oh, how could that happen? That's no way, no way they would do. Yes, there is a way. There's an easy way. Donald Trump will say, do it. He's obsessed for years. Why don't you shoot those protesters in the leg? Why don't you shoot them? Why can't they shoot them? Lafayette Square, when Donald Trump ran to his bunker like a bitch, he wanted to shoot peaceful protesters. Miller can sell him on this, and he will. Kristi Noem puts up that placard on her podium the other day. One of ours, all of yours. Subtle, Kristi. Really subtle. But they will escalate. They want to escalate. This is their sacred moment for them. This is the moment they dreamed of. All these Proud Boys and 3%ers and Oath Creeps and all the scum and the flotsam that have been washed into ice in the last year. They don't want to make the streets safe. They want to freaking shoot people. They want to kill the opponents of Donald Trump to show their loyalty to the regime. I have long been the Cassandra of this moment in our history. Oh, Wilson's exaggerating. Trump would never do crazy fascist things like that. I heard that in 2016. Then I heard in 2020, when people were like, oh, well, he'll leave office peacefully. And I was like, no, he won't. No, he won't. Go back. In October of that year, I was saying the guy's not going to leave office peacefully. But as the Cassandra of this moment, I want you to know they're going to shoot Americans. They're going to shoot people. If you don't think that Renee Good getting shot 3 times in the head by this Jonathan Ross murderer from ICE was a preview, you are mistaken. They dragged a handicapped woman out of her car because she was turning down the street to go to her doctor. They have to accelerate.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
ICE is, as someone wrote the other day, a content machine. I think it was David Frum. They have to show more and more spectacle to the jaded audience of MAGA. They have to keep showing them that Trump's thugs, that Trump's enforcers, that Trump's bullies, that Trump's brute squad is doing worse and worse things. They're never satisfied with just a little brutality. They're never satisfied with just a little blood. They're never satisfied with just a little terror. Because that is, again, the political purpose of the police state. It is to cause terror in your life. It is to cause you to fear to speak your mind. It is to cause you to say, I'm going to abandon my rights now. It is to cause you to say, I'm not an American enough to believe that I can face up to this monstrous machine. It is to cause you to live in a moment where you believe that expressing yourself will result in your death. That is the fundamental reason why they have to accelerate. Because right now, more and more and more and more Americans are taking to the streets in opposition to this regime. More and more and more Americans reject this government. More and more Americans are saying no. More communities are saying no. And if ICE loses its ability to terrify you, Trump loses the whole fight. This machine, this murderous machine that Stephen Miller has built, stick by stick, bit by bit, brick by brick, exists for a fundamental reason. It exists for a reason that is so perverse and broken and sick that we don't want to believe it could happen in America, but it is happening here. This machine is meant to escalate. The ratchet is only meant to turn in one direction. The fear is only meant to go up and up and up. And that fear is paid for by blood. They want you to not walk out of your house, to not tape them on your phone, to not say nothing. They want you to say nothing. They want you quiet. They want you submissive. They want you cowed and frightened. I don't want to get shot. I can't go to a protest. I might get killed. If I show up, ICE might beat me to death. ICE might shoot me in the head. They might. Probably will try. This violence will not end because it cannot end. It has to feed a machine that is dedicated to spectacle and narrative and showmanship. That spectacle that they want you to see right now is that protests and objections to Trump and objections to DHS will be met with punishment. And if they step back, they lose that terror capacity. You've seen a lot of these DHS agents the last few days, like, haven't you learned anything? We executed one of you. That element of the police state, the accelerating violence of the police state, is a fundamental pillar of why America is living in a police state. There's a final pillar. Police states require propaganda. They require a false storyline. They require a fake narrative. They require an endless supply of lies. They require slick, persuasive people to go in front of the camera and say, oh no, Renee Good was a terrorist. Renee Good was a domestic terrorist trying to kill Jonathan Ross.
It was an act of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Minneapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle. An officer of ours acted quickly and defensively, shot to protect himself and the people around him. And my understanding is that she was hit and is deceased. We're continuing to gather more information, but this goes to show the assaults that our ICE officers and our law enforcement are under every single day. These vehicle rammings are domestic acts of terrorism. We're working with the Department of Justice to prosecute them as such. We will continue to protect our ICE officers and in cooperation with other law enforcement agencies as well.
They know they're lying. You know that, right? You know that Carolyn Leavitt knows she's lying.
Earlier, you were just defending ICE agents generally. And earlier on, Secretary Noem spoke to the media, and she said, among other things, that they are doing everything correctly. 32 people died in ICE custody last year. 170 U.S. citizens were detained by ICE. And Renee Good was shot in the head and killed by an ICE agent. How does that equate to them doing everything correctly?
Why was Renee Good unfortunately and tragically killed?
Are you asking me my opinion? Because an ICE agent acted recklessly and killed an unjustified.
Oh, okay. So you're a biased reporter with a left-wing opinion.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, because you're a left-wing hack. You're not a reporter. You're posing in this room as a journalist. And it's so clear by the premise of your question. And you and the people in the media who have such biases but fake, like you're a journalist, you shouldn't even be sitting in that seat. But you're pretending like you're a journalist, but you're a left-wing activist. And the question that you just raised and your answer proves your bias. You should be reporting on the facts. You should be reporting on the cases. Do you have the numbers of how many American citizens were killed at the hands of illegal aliens who ICE is trying to remove from this country? I bet you don't. I bet you didn't even read up on those stories. I bet you never even read about Lake and Riley or Jocelyn Nungre or all of the innocent Americans who were killed at the hands of illegal aliens in this country. And the brave men and women of ICE are doing everything in their power to remove those heinous individuals and make our communities safer. And shame on people like you in the media who have a crooked view and have a biased view and pretend like you're a real honest journalist.
Donald Trump knows he's lying.
And one of the reasons they're doing these fake riots, I mean, they're just terrible. I mean, you see, it's so fake. Shame, shame, shame. You see the woman. That's all practice. They go practice. They go to areas. They take hotel rooms and they all practice together. It's a whole scam. We're finding out who's funding all this stuff, too. We pretty much know.
J.D. Vance certainly knows he's lying. That sociopath.
She tried to run somebody over with her car, and the guy defended himself when that happened. Next question.
The investigation is still ongoing.
I said next question.
All of this, the surveillance, the political intentionality, the violence, the legal corruption, it all requires outside storytellers to cast you and me and anyone who says no to this unconstitutional, un-American, unconservative violence and abuse of power as terrorists. It requires an endless supply of feedstock for the Fox machine. Oh, there's Antifa. Oh, they're terrorists. Oh, it requires more and more and more of a suspension of reality and belief and faith in this country's ability to govern itself. They have to tell you that the streets are running with blood. They have to tell you that there are billions of illegal aliens eating the dogs and cats, taking your children to fentanyl slave factories, running sex trafficking rings in your neighborhood. It's all a lie. Even in their best best arguments, it's a grotesque set of exaggerations piled on the pyramid of lies. Those propagandists exist in a couple of different pools. Fox, obviously, you're all deeply familiar with that. The Fox Sinclair talk radio sameness. No matter what the talk radio in your community is, you know, it's all feeding off the same pool. The water flows from the same cesspool of Fox. The social media influencer class, the Nick Sorters, the Benny Johnsons, all of these people, none of them exist in a world where facts or reality matter. Only narrative matters to them. And so you will see them go over and over again into Minneapolis and into other communities that ICE is going to attack as we go along in this year. And you will see them tell the lies they tell. You will see them cast the aspersions they cast. You will see them frame things that are lies. Nick Shirley, the guy that started this whole Minnesota fraud thing, it's a lie from top to bottom. He doesn't care. He's made tons of money off of it. The influencer class of MAGA has monetized this police state brilliantly. They're its biggest cheerleaders. They're its biggest excusers. They are out there. I promise you, if a DHS agent who worked for Barack Obama did this to a MAGA person in some way, they would have fire in the streets. If DHS abused its power, if ICE abused its power during a Democratic president's administration to take away the free speech rights of people who objected to whatever for conservative reasons, there would be fire in the streets. They have to feed this monster all the time that they're the small oppressed minority and they're the ones that are under the gun and they're the ones that are suffering and they're the ones that are going to be, you know, defending the rights of people. They're not. The MAGA influencer world is such a pernicious, cancerous tumor on this society because they're willing to lie for money every day, because they're willing to go out and deeply and profoundly insult the people that have been abused by ICE and abused by DHS and abused by this White House. They will tell you lies about Antifa and terrorism and every other perversion of the truth. And they're a necessary part of the police state because they're keeping a chunk of the population, about 30 to 35% of the population, in a state of constant agitation. They've monetized it. They've weaponized it. And they're very good at it. They're very, very good at it. I wish anybody in the center was as good at firing people up as they are of spreading confidently told lies to marginally educated people. It's dark. You know, in Iran right now, millions of people are in the street. Millions of people. After 47 years of theocratic oppression, they desperately want their freedom. The Basij militia, the IGRC, the internal Iranian security forces, have long been known to be brutal. They've long been known to be a law unto themselves. They've long been known to be a police state, willing and able to use violence at scale to suppress political dissent. We've been critical of that police state for a long time, rightly. But here at home in America, we're growing our own version of it. We're building our own version of it from the ground up. At this point, lecturing the Chinese on the abuses of political freedom in their country is pointless. The MSS can do what it wants. At this point, lecturing Russia on the political freedoms in its country that it oppresses every single day, it's pointless. Because America's building a police state that will rival any of them in the world. We're living in it every day. And that, my friends, is the elephant in the room.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up. And they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.